Patrick, how are you this morning?
Great. Good morning, Tony.
Well, coming up is a story that you helped us break a couple of weeks ago. And I know there's no new news, but it still baffles me that the media hasn't taken hold of this. And this is about a two-day hearing, which is coming up, Patrick. You help us break this story. Apparently, the Department of Labor and the Department of the Treasury are going to get together and talk and perhaps decide on a bill that would in effect allow the government to use our retirement funds. And I just want you to elaborate on that story a little bit more since you help us break it.
Okay. The government, as most people are aware, needs tons of money to cover budget deficits and growing debt. The easiest place to find that kind of money, unfortunately, is in private retirement plans. The 2 years ago, the House Committee on Education and Labor held hearings where a plan was advocated that the government eventually replace the assets in private retirement plans with government bonds so that the government would get immediate assets that could be used to fund expenditures and debt and replace them with promises to pay in the future where when somebody died, the bonds would be converted into an annuity. Politicians realized that jumping to this idea immediately would face huge public resistance. So at the time, the plan advocated was to do it in steps, where the first step is to start a voluntary plan and not make it universal, not make it mandatory. The hearings next Tuesday and Wednesday are this first step where they're discussing the option of allowing people to convert their retirement plans into annuities at the time they retire. Actually, people can do that now, so this isn't any groundbreaking step. But it is definitely part of the plan eventually for the United States government to take possession of all assets in private retirement plans and replace them with government bonds. Unfortunately, the one of the signs of taking this step is that the people at the Treasury are pretty confident that the future dollars will be worth less than they are today. That's one of the ways the government can justify taking this step.
I'm just surprised that there's not more outrage about this when you think about people who have been saving for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. This is how they're going to live when they stop working. Why, in your estimation, Patrick, isn't there more outrage, concern, talk about this hearing, which is scheduled for September 14th and 15th?
It's the way the politicians are handling it. Instead of going for the whole ball of wax right off the bat, they're discussing something which actually people can already do, which means it's not controversial right now. Standard tactics in the political world.
All right. Well, we're going to obviously follow this story. As a matter of fact, after we had you on the program, we had Dr. Corsi on, and he talked about his concerns as well as agreeing with your assessment of this. Let's talk about precious metals. You've been talking on this program for 8 months that now's the time to buy precious metals, gold and silver. And according to your latest newsletter, it's better now to buy it was than to buy now than it was 8 months ago.
The fundamentals look a lot more favorable for major price increases. Actually, by the end of September, I mean, it's that imminent. Yesterday, the price of silver had its highest close in the United States since March 17, 2008, and it's one of its five highest closes of all time. On Tuesday, the price of gold set an all-time high record, that's ignoring inflation, of course. But there are tremendous supply problems. On the COMEX, the contracts that are due for physical delivery now through the next few weeks are very slow in getting deliveries, which costs the seller of the contract, the one that owes the metal, it costs them more money every day they delay in making delivery. So the basic reason they're not making delivery is they don't have the silver to deliver to fulfill the contract. The same kind of signs are coming from the London Bullion Market Association, which in theory is the world's largest market for trading physical metals, is that there's so little silver and gold there available to fulfill contracts. Traders are abandoning that market.
Well, where is all the gold and silver? Have the paper for these precious metals been sold at a rate that surpasses the supply?
There's a lot more liabilities to deliver metals than there is physical metal to deliver it. For instance, on the COMEX, the sellers of contracts owe almost 700 million ounces of silver, yet as of last night, there's only about 111 million ounces of silver in COMEX warehouses, of which only 54 million were dedicated to delivering against the contracts.
So what's going to happen in your estimation?
There is a real good chance in the coming weeks here of a major supply squeeze. I wouldn't be surprised to see the price of silver go up 25 to 50%. Gold is facing a similar situation, although it tends not to be quite as volatile in price. So I'm expecting that price to go up as well.
So, Patrick, as you've mentioned many times on this show, buy gold and silver. It's a great asset to have in addition to whatever you may have in your portfolio, but do make sure that you have access to the physical precious metal, correct?
I definitely advocate getting the physical metals. There are a lot of paper contracts where people on the other side literally do not have the metal to fulfill the contract. They may have a derivative which theoretically covers their position, but when push comes to shove, it's not likely that they can cover everything.
All right, Patrick Heller is the general manager with Liberty Coin Service, and he is our expert on precious metals. Patrick, once again, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Tony.